Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. And we're located in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, right across the street from my favorite store, Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit our website at ellenbecker.com for more details. Well, I have to share, when I was asked to host this radio show, I got pretty excited because Social Security has been in the news. We've been talking Social Security with clients, and I thought, who best to get on the radio show but Alita, directly from the Social Security Administration. So in a moment, we're going to welcome her to this conversation. We're going to talk a lot about the basics of Social Security and some strategies and what this means for you. I am going to start off by allowing Alita to provide her disclaimer, excuse me, and then we're going to talk about some of the things that we've heard in the news on Social Security. So with that, I'd like to welcome Alita. And before we get started, Alita, I know you have to read a little disclaimer, so go ahead and let's get that part over with.
Okay. Thank you, Jean. Yes, participation in this presentation does not constitute an endorsement by the Social Security Administration or its employees of the organizations and information and products not provided by the Social Security Administration.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you for providing that. You know, before we get into some of our content, I just want to talk about some things that we've heard in the news about Social Security. And one talks about the implementation of stricter identity verification requirements. Can you give our listeners a little insight on what that means and how that impacts them?
Sure. Well, what we are doing is Social Security is taking proactive steps to enhance security of services by implementing these stronger identity verification procedures. So these updated measures will safeguard Social Security records and benefits for millions of Americans that are receiving them. It is scheduled to begin April 14th of this year. So what this means is that there are certain individuals that will need to come in person to our offices to prove their identity, not everybody. So the individuals that will have to do this is anybody who is not able to apply for benefits or change their direct deposit through our My Social Security account online, but not everybody. So if you're not able to do your application or your changes through the My Social Security account, if you are applying for disability benefits, Medicare benefits, or SSI benefits, you still do not have to come into the office. We can still take your application completely on the phone, and we will prove your identity on the phone. But if you are applying for retirement benefits, survivor benefits, or auxiliary benefits, and you are not able to do this through the My Social Security account, you will be required to come into the office to prove your identity. So what we are suggesting is if that is, you are one of the individuals that has to come in, go ahead and call us and set up the appointment and get it all done at once in the office.
All right. And you had said that starts April of this year. What was the date on that?
April 14th is the date that it is scheduled to go into effect. So
all right.
Until then, everything is still the same.
All right. And how are those individuals going to be notified that they have to take this extra step?
If these individuals file their claim through the My Social Security account, nothing needs to be done. If they're not filing through the My Social Security account, they're going to be calling us to set up appointments because we will not take walk-ins. When they call us to set up their appointment, we will let them know that you will have to come in and show us your ID, so you may want to make this up in office appointment instead of over the phone.
All right. Thank you for clarifying that. The other topic I wanted to bring up is the repeal of the windfall elimination provision and the government pension offset. So there were some big changes where individuals who initially were not collecting Social Security now have that benefit available to them. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yes. So you are referring to the Social Security Fairness Act. So this is a law that was signed January 5th of this year. So prior to this law being signed, individuals who were receiving government pensions or non-covered pensions, so these were pensions where they did not pay the FICA taxes, but they paid into either a foreign pension or maybe it was a civil service retirement system, or a lot of our teachers, firefighters, and police officers pay into their own government pensions. So these individuals were then also eligible to receive a benefit from Social Security, but that benefit was reduced. And that was reduced through the windfall elimination provision. So when this law was signed, all the individuals that were having their benefits reduced, that was eliminated. We went back to January of 2024, and as of today, I believe we are like 75% of those individuals have already had their benefits increased, and we have already paid their retroactive benefits that they were due. We still have some cases that we are still having to work through manually. Those will take a little bit longer, but if you were one of these individuals and you are already receiving benefits, you usually have nothing that you need to do because you either already received that money that you were due or were working on it. There were some individuals that, because of the government pension offset, maybe they never filed for the spousal benefits or the survivor benefits. They need to contact us if they feel that they may be eligible for those benefits, because now that government pension is not going to count and you may be able to get that benefit now.
All right. And if they need to contact you, would they call the 1-800 number?
Yes.
And that number, 1-800-772-1213. So if you feel that you need to reach out to Social Security, let's start with that number. And I'm going to give it again, just in case you didn't have a pen ready. That number is 1-800-772-1213. Well, thanks for giving us some updates on some new developments with Social Security. I'm going to get into the meat of our conversation, and I just want to initially talk about how Social Security is funded. And there's something called FICA, and that's a FICA tax. So if you look at your payroll check, you're going to see there's some taxes, and it's called FICA. With that FICA tax, you pay part of it as an employee, and your employer pays part of that as well. How much is that per person or per party? Is that 7.65%, Alita?
It is 7.65% that you pay and 7.65% that the employer pays. You pay that amount up until the maximum for 2025, which is $176,100. Once your earnings have reached that level, then you continue to pay the Medicare portion, which is 1.45%, but you no longer pay the 6.2%, which is the Social Security portion. So 96% of all Americans pay this tax, and that's how we fund the Social Security retirement, the disability to survivor, and the Medicare benefit.
And if you go back in history, boy, way back in 1940, there were 159 people paying into the system for every one person receiving benefits. Fast forward to 2010, and that stat is down to 3 people paying in for every one person receiving benefits. And I know that figure is lower if you get more current times of 2025. So you can tell the system has changed dramatically, and that's because there's more people receiving benefits. We're living longer. And way back when this started, it was really for retirees. It did not include individuals that were receiving disability benefits. So the program has changed over time. I want to talk a little bit about how you earn the actual benefits. So I know we pay FICA tax. And how many years of work do you need in order to be eligible to collect the benefit?
Well, it's not really how many years of work, it's how many credits you need. So to be eligible for the retirement benefit, when you are paying the FICA taxes, you are earning credits. You need a minimum of 40 credits. In 2025, and every year before this, the maximum that you can earn is 4 credits per year. So this year, 1 credit is going to equal $1,810 in earnings. So if you earn at least $7,240, you will have earned the 4 credits that you need per year. Most people will earn 4 credits a year. So 4 credits a year, 10 years of work, most individuals will have the 40 credits that they need. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to earn those credits continuously year after year. It's a lifetime of earnings that we take into consideration.
Well, and it if I go back to my my textbooks, it actually looks for the monthly average of your highest of your 35 highest earning years. Is that correct? So they really go back 35 years.
That's correct. We use, a lot of people think we use the last 10 years or the last 5 years, but when we do the computation, we actually take the average of your highest 35 years of earnings. So we use those earnings after we've adjusted them for inflation. And then that gives us the average index monthly earnings, or the AIM. And that's what we use to determine what your monthly benefit is going to be.
Perfect. Thanks for clarifying that. We're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation around Social Security, the benefits, and what it looks like for you personally. With that, let's take a break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Allen Becker Investment Group. Today, we're talking with Alita straight from the Social Security Administration Office, and I wanted to discuss some of the basics. Sometimes there's a little confusion on when you can collect benefits and is there a reduced benefit at certain ages and so on. So I wanted to take a moment to kind of get to the basics of Social Security. And Alita, I'm going to open it up and talk about this term called full retirement age. So we know that the earliest somebody can collect Social Security benefits is at age 62. What is this term full retirement age? Is that when I'm 62, or what does that mean?
Okay, so the term full retirement age is the age at which you can collect 100% of your benefit. So you, everybody, no matter what your full retirement age, is able to file as early as age 62, but depending on when your full retirement age is, your benefit is going to be reduced if you take it before then. So we determine the full retirement age based on when you were born. So if you were born January 2nd, 1960 and later, your full retirement age is 67. And then if you were born earlier than that, your full retirement age is anywhere from 65 and 2 months to 66 and 10 months. Our website lists all the full retirement age and the dates of birth. So if you take your benefit before your full retirement age, you are taking a reduced benefit.
And what's interesting is sometimes people think that they're earning 8% increase on their benefits if they delay Social Security. So what I want to emphasize, and maybe you can affirm this, Alita, is once you hit your full retirement age, your benefit will increase 8% simple interest from that full retirement age to age 70. So if I was born after 1960, which I was, and if I delay my Social Security benefits at age 67, 68, 69, when I hit 70, it actually grew at 8% simple interest during that time period. Is that correct?
That is correct. We call those delayed retirement credits that you earn from your full retirement age all the way through age 70. So although you're getting 100% of your benefit at age 67, if that's your full retirement age, you can let it continue to increase up until age 70. At that point, it's not going to grow anymore. So then you definitely should start drawing your benefits at age 70. But yeah, that's a nice increase, 8% a year.
All right. And you know, sometimes people say, I'm going to wait. Boy, when you look at the difference of collecting it at 62 versus age 70, it's significant. But the key is knowing when you're going to pass away. And that really helps determine when do you collect the benefits. And none of us really know for certain when we're going to pass away. So I want to talk about collecting benefits early, meaning under your full retirement age. And for some of us, that's between age 62 and 67. And again, depending if you were born prior to 1960, your full retirement age is going to be younger than 67. But let's talk about collecting benefits early. So let's assume my full retirement age is age 66, meaning I was born between 1943 and 1954. In general terms, if I start collecting benefits at age 62, how much reduction am I going to receive approximately on my Social Security benefits just by collecting early?
Okay, so if you are an individual whose full retirement age is 66 and you can take it at 62, but you're looking at a 25% reduction. And one thing that sometimes people don't realize is that once you start taking it earlier, you're locked into that reduction. Some individuals think if I take it at age 62, I'll get that reduction, but then at full retirement age, it will increase. No, it's not going to increase. Once you start taking it, that's your benefit forever. And that's one thing that people need to take into consideration, that the decision to start taking it earlier is a lifelong decision.
For example, if your full retirement age is age 67, for example, and your benefit would have been $2,000 at that age, if you collect it early, meaning 62, that benefit may be reduced to about $1,400. So that's a $600 per month reduction for the rest of your life. So when you're working with a financial advisor, they're going to run through some calculations to help you determine should you collect it early and what does that mean. So if you have a big question stirring right now and you're wondering when should I collect my Social Security benefit, definitely reach out to your financial advisor. If you don't have one, give me a call. I can be reached at 262-691-3200, and we can walk through some simple calculations to help you make that informed decision. Because it is a big decision. When do you start collecting? And not only does it impact you and your monthly income, it also may impact your surviving spouse. And Alita, share what I'm leading up to. So let's assume that the husband is the primary breadwinner and the wife did not work outside the home. Let's talk about how does she collect benefits first. So In that situation, where if you were a spouse and you did not work outside the home, meaning you were raising your family and so on, is that spouse eligible for benefits if they've never paid into the system?
Yes, if the couple is married and they have been married at least a year, the spouse can collect a benefit when the worker is either retired or disabled. The spouse needs to be 62 years old and they can collect at their full retirement age up to 50% of the worker's benefit. So even though they've never worked outside of the home and paid into the FICA taxes, because they are married, they are eligible for a spousal benefit.
And the key here I want to emphasize, and correct me if I'm wrong, is in order for that spouse to collect benefits, the working spouse has to be receiving benefits, meaning they have to be collecting Social Security for the spouse to be able to collect Social Security on that individual's earning record.
That is correct. The worker has to already be drawing for the spouse to be able to draw. It doesn't affect the worker's benefit, but they do have to be on benefits before anybody else can be on the record also.
Perfect. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and talk more about these spousal benefits and what that means for you. So, with that, let's take a break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. I thought it'd be beneficial to have this conversation around Social Security benefits. So I have asked Alita to be on the show with us today. And again, as I've mentioned in prior segments, she is part of the Social Security Administration office. So you are getting information straight from that office. I wanted to talk about spouses. And in our prior segment, we talked about how you could be a non-employed spouse collecting benefits on the working spouse's record. And now I want to talk about individuals who are divorced. And I know there's certain requirements if you are divorced to be eligible for collecting Social Security benefits. Can you share with our listeners what some of those requirements are?
Sure. So for the divorced spouse's benefit, for this benefit, the worker does not have to be drawing a benefit for the ex-spouse to draw. The worker just has to be eligible to draw. So at least 62 years old, the worker needs to be. The marriage has to have lasted at least 10 years for there to be any eligibility for the divorced spouse's benefits. So if the marriage ended before 10 years, there are no spousal benefits payable. The other thing for this is the worker can be remarried, but the ex-spouse who's drawing on their record cannot be remarried. They must be single. So as long as the ex-spouse is single, the marriage lasted at least 10 years, and the worker is at least 62 years old, they are able to draw a benefit on that record as an ex-divorced spouse.
And if you were an individual that had multiple marriages that lasted 10 years or more, even if you have two or three ex-spouses claiming on your work record, it doesn't impact the workers' benefits, correct?
That is correct. So there may be several ex-spouses collecting on your record, but it's not going to reduce your benefit. And one thing that I do want to mention, before we pay a spousal benefit or an ex-spouse's benefit, we always look to see what you can get on your own record. So if you can get more on your own record, then you're only going to receive that. You will not be paid the spousal record. But like you said, there are some spouses that have stayed home, they haven't worked, and they would probably qualify for that spousal benefit.
And in our second segment, when we talked about spouses collecting on their spouse's earning record, we stated that individual must be collecting benefits in order for the spouse who is not working to receive benefits. And that's not the case if you're divorced, right? If you're divorced and your ex-spouse is not collecting benefits, you can still collect if you are eligible for that benefit, correct?
That is correct. As long as the worker is at least 62 years or older and that you have been divorced for 2 years. So if you've been divorced less than the 2 years, you have to wait.
Okay. And that's good to know. I did not know that 2 year requirement. So thanks for pointing that out. Let's talk about survivor benefits. So what's interesting is when we talk about how early can you receive Social Security benefits, we often think of 62. And that's not the case if you're a survivor. The earliest you could receive benefits is at age 60. And let's go through some of the requirements to collect benefits if you are a survivor, meaning your spouse with the earning records has passed away. What are some of the requirements for somebody to collect benefits, Alita?
So for somebody to collect benefits as a survivor, the worker has to have paid into Social Security and be insured. So there are individuals that will pass away and they haven't paid enough FICA taxes to be in for the family to receive any benefits. So the younger you are, the less work that is required. But if you are the child of a survivor under the age of 18 or 19 or in high school, or if you're a disabled child, you can also receive benefits if you are disabled before age 22. Or if you are the spouse or ex-spouse that is at least 60 years old, if you're not disabled, 50 years old if you are disabled, or any age if you have a child that you're caring for who is under the age of 16 or is disabled. You have to be single unless you remarried after the age of 60. So if you are remarried but it happened after age 60, then you're fine, you would qualify, or 50 if you are disabled. Otherwise, you have to be single.
All right, so let's go through some examples. Let's assume that I'm widowed and I'm 60 years old and I'm working full-time earning a general salary. Could I still collect Social Security benefits on my deceased spouse, even though I'm earning money? Or do I have to earn under a dollar amount to be eligible for the Social Security survivor benefits?
Okay, that's a great question. So not only for the survivor benefits, but these are the same limits that we have for people who are retired also. So there is a limit to how much you can earn before it starts affecting your Social Security benefits. So in 2025, the limit is $23,400 a year. So that's the limit for individuals that are under their full retirement age. So when we talk about the limit, we're only talking about wages. We're not talking about any other type of income, only wages and net income from self-employment. If you are going to be drawing benefits and you go over this limit, you will have to pay back $1 for every $2 that you go over. So the year that you turn full retirement age, that amount increases. In 2025, that amount is $62,160 a year. But we only count up until the month before your full retirement age. So for example, my birthday's in July. The year I turned 67, I would have to stay under the limit from January through June. Starting with the month of my 67th birthday, there is no limit. Before that month, if I go over that limit, I have to pay back $1 for every $3 that I go over. And then again, starting with the month of your full retirement age, there's no limit. You don't need to tell us. You can earn as much as you want, and your benefits will not be affected.
So there are certain circumstances where an individual could receive survivor spousal benefits and then turn their own benefits based on their own work history on when they hit their full retirement age or at age 70. Is that correct?
That is correct. So if you are an individual that is eligible for both a survivor benefit and your own retirement benefit, you may want to choose to take the survivor benefit because it's not going to affect your own retirement. Your own benefit will continue to grow up until full retirement age and beyond. So you may start the benefits as early as age 60, the survivor benefit, let yours continue to grow. And then at any time between, you know, age 62 and 70, you can start drawing your own because it's going to be higher probably. And we can go through those numbers with you. If you're not sure what would be more beneficial for your situation, contact us and we can look at those numbers and help you decide what's best for you.
So if you're listening and you're divorced or widowed, wondering if you're eligible for benefits, would they call the Social Security Administration office or would they come in, and what kind of information should they bring with them?
Yes. The easiest way to do this is to call us. That 800-1-800-772-1213, that number is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be somebody there who will be able to help you. Our website also has a lot of the good information, a lot of calculators that you can use. But when you are contacting us, we're going to need the information of your deceased spouse or the deceased worker. So if you have their Social Security number, that would be very helpful. And then we're going to need your information because we're going to look to see what you can get on your own record and what you can get as a survivor. But a lot of this information is already available to you online.
And since we're talking about going online, can you give us the website if somebody would like to go on and get an estimate of what benefits they may be eligible for? What is the official website for Social Security Administration?
Okay, the official website is ssa.gov. Make sure that when you are going on there, you are going to the .gov website and not the .com because you will end up somewhere else. But if you go to ssa.gov, we have a lot of calculators on there that will help you, you know, make choices and give you some information that you may not have known was available. It's all available on our website, and it's a great place to go just to research. Even if you're young, we have a frequently asked questions section where you can go and research and just look at what's available for now or in the future.
Well, and I actually logged on and I created my own account, and it's a very nice system, and it does authenticate who you are by asking some identifying questions. And it was a great opportunity for me to review my work history to see if there were any errors. It is rare, but it does happen. And I always tell my clients, it's easier to correct that error when the error is recent than trying to correct an error from years ago. So if you're listening and you're wondering, hey, what am I expected to receive in Social Security benefits? What does that look like? And what earnings history does Social Security have on me? The website again is SSA for Social Security Administration.gov. G as in George, O as in Oscar, and V as in Victor. Again, do not go to the .com address. So, all right, before we break for another segment, I'd like to talk about another survivor benefit, and it's called a death payment. Share with our listeners what that amount is and how this works.
Yes, the one-time $255 lump sum death benefit, as we call it, is for current spouses of the worker. If there is not a current spouse, we do not pay this lump sum to an ex-spouse. We can pay it to minor children or disabled adult children, and that would be divided up among the children. We don't pay it to adult children that are not eligible for benefits on the record or ex-spouses.
So it's a $255 one-time payment in the event of a passing, and that payment is to a surviving spouse or to children who meet certain requirements. So that is good to know. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to continue this conversation. Again, if you're looking and trying to determine when do you actually start collecting your benefits and you want to seek out some financial planning, please give me a call at 262-691-3200 or give your own financial advisor a call, and they can help you make that informed decision. With that, let's take a break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jean Range, Senior Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, we are honored to have Alita from the Social Security Administration on the show with us. And she's given us a lot of insight on some of the changes and developments that we've been hearing about in the news, as well as your benefit and the calculations. During the break, Alita and I talked and we said, let's focus some attention on their website. And that's because they've had some recent changes. And Alita, share with our listeners what we were talking about during the break.
Sure. So if you have, I don't know if you have been receiving emails about this, but if you are an individual who set up your My Social Security account before September of 2021, you may have received notice from us telling you that we were transitioning from the old accounts where you used a username and a password to the new accounts, which are now through the login.gov website. So if you have not done this, and I know I had not done this because yesterday I went into my account and it no longer gave me access. You are forced now to set up your, verify your identity through the login.gov website. And it was very easy. We actually have a video on our website that you can follow through, and it's very easy to do. So we are transitioning from the old way of logging in to the new way. And it is much more secure, and it's very easy to do. So like you mentioned, the My Personal Social Security account is very, very useful, especially because individuals who do their business through the My Social Security account are exempt from coming in to verify their identity. So if you don't have one of these accounts, we highly, highly encourage you to go ahead and set it up. Whether you receive benefits or not, there are lots of things that you can do online with them.
Perfect. So I'm looking at a sample of a Social Security statement, and there is a ton of great information that's on here. And boy, if you're looking at page one, it gives you your personalized monthly retirement benefit estimate at various ages, starting at 62 and going all the way up to age 70. When you log onto that site, let's talk about some of the calculators that you see. What are some of the calculators that you're going to see?
Yes, some of the calculators that are on our website are your retirement benefit calculator. You can even figure out a spousal calculator. One thing that we talked about is the annual earnings limit. We have an annual earnings test calculator where you can put your, you know, how much you think you're projected to earn, and that's going to tell you how much you are over the limit. We also have a longevity calculator that kind of calculates how long you may live. So we have, I believe, 11 calculators on our website, very user-friendly, and they're there for anybody to use who's, you know, using them to plan for future benefits.
So I'm assuming those calculators, one, it might be where if I'm currently 55 years old and I want to retire at, say, 65, I can get an estimate based on that. Is there also a calculator where if I say I'm 40 years old and I want to retire at 50, what does my benefit look like at 62, knowing I have at a minimum of 12 years without earnings history? Does it go into that detail of a calculation?
We do have calculators where you are able to put in your future earnings. So if you know that you are going to stop working at a certain point, you would just add zeros and the system would calculate that information. It would take into consideration that.
All right. And as I mentioned in a prior segment, you're going to see your earnings record. And it's kind of interesting to see historically where your earnings started and where they are today. So it's a great opportunity to make certain that Social Security is working with accurate information. The other piece of information I find helpful is the taxes paid. So if you want to see how much Social Security tax you've paid over your lifetime, you can find that out by looking at your Social Security statement. And when I'm meeting with clients, I always say it's the best investment you ever made because you're probably going to collect all of your taxes paid within the first 6 to 10 years of receiving benefits. So it's a great benefit. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other calculators. Are there any other calculators or information that you think the listeners might find useful if they're logged on to the SSA.gov website?
Well, like I said, there is a lot of information for people that, so let's say you are receiving benefits. Some of the things that you could do is get a replacement Social Security card completely online. No need to come in. You would just go on there and get the replacement Social Security card. If you're not receiving benefits, you could apply and check the status of your application. So completely online, you'd be able to check the status of that information. Like you already mentioned, your statements are on there. We ask everybody to please check those statements yearly because a lot of times you don't find out that you're missing earnings or that there are extra earnings on your record until it comes time to retirement benefit. Like you said, it's easier to correct something, an error that was recently made, than having to go back 10, 15 years and try to, prove that you actually did work where there's zero listed. On for that year. So yes, definitely check those estimates. And if you receive benefits, there's a lot more that you can do. You can get a replacement Medicare card. You can get those verification letters that a lot of people need at the beginning of the year to verify how much you are receiving. And the 1099s for your taxes, you can print out your duplicate 1099 online. And then for anybody who's doing a change for direct deposit, they have to come in person now, but you can do yours online if you are doing it through the My Social Security account. So we stress everybody over the age of 18 who has ever worked, go ahead and set up your account, look at your information. You may be many years away from retirement, but it's good to know, what's on there for the future.
Definitely. Before we close out, share with our listeners, is Social Security income taxed both federal and state or just federal?
Social Security is taxed federal. So we will, in Wisconsin or anywhere in the country, if you file for benefits, you can ask us to voluntarily hold your federal taxes from those payments. It's voluntarily, so you don't have to, but if you want, we will do that.
Yep, and I teased you with that question because I did want to remind people when you do sign up for benefits, seek out some professional guidance from a tax professional to determine if you should withhold any federal taxes on your Social Security income because your Social Security income may be federally taxed and there's various degrees of that taxation. So again, seek out professional advice from a tax professional to determine how that impacts you personally. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. We've talked about a lot of Social Security and how to collect benefits, whether on your own work history or through a spouse. And we talked about some of the changes that are going on in Social Security regarding the implementation of stricter identity verification requirements and the repeal of the windfall elimination provision. So, I want to say thank you for your time, Alita. If you are listening and you have questions about your own Social Security, please give us a call at 262-691-3200. With that, I'm going to share Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 and on Sundays from 12 to 1. If you've enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit us at allenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Be well.